through our being right now. Lord, it's the cry of our heart. We're here and we can recognize different reasons for being here, but the primary reason is to know you in a living, experiential way, for the relationship with you to be alive, real, and growing. Bless you, Sue. It's so good to see you. Amen. We just impart, as we've been praying, we impart healing and strength to your body. Amen.
Just say one thing.
Yes.
Just am so blessed by this beautiful family of God, each one of you. And you just all mean so much to me. I just thank you for your gift of love and your prayers. I just have one question for God, and that is, why aren't more people flocking here for the worship and the word and where the presence of God belongs? Just pray for people's eyes to be open. As Jeff said, just ministered so much. And Carol Emanuel is speaking to me this week about Emanuel, God with us. Just a beautiful flow of worship and love. You know, just
yeah, and I was thinking about the prophecy again about just the reality of knowing him and how that's really the cry everyone has inside. But so often in church, people get caught up with so many other questions, and you know, I mean, everything from just you getting wrapped up in building projects and just, you know, programs, this, that, and the other, all good things. And yet there's got to be the places where that living water flows. I just pray that it be everywhere. I mean, you know, it'd be certainly nice to see more people flowing here, but let the spring, living springs just come up where people are maybe being distracted by all these other things, and everybody to recognize what is the primary drive of their life, where they can drink deeply of that water of life. And you know what? I'm not criticizing programs or building projects. I mean, you get a lot of people together, you've got to have those things going. That's not the issue. The issue is that those things are not more important than the spiritual drive in meeting the Lord. That should always be the primary reason we come together. And we're here because we love one another. It's a blessing to be here, but we're here because something in our heart wants to connect with Jesus Christ and our Father in a real and living way, in a greater way than we've known before. So Lord, our prayer this morning is these springs that are hidden underground everywhere. They're everywhere your people are, the people that are alive in the Spirit. There's living springs. Pull the rocks out. Let those springs flow freely. Rivers of living water out of the innermost part of your people's lives, as Jesus cried. Let them flow to an overflow, that your people can drink of life. Not a dead letter, not simply being religious, but actually drinking of your presence, where they're growing, where they're changing. Amen. I also am thankful that we're able to do that here. There's nothing more important than that. Is it a little warm in here? How is that relevant to the presence of the Lord? It's not. I just wondered if it's... Okay, if everybody's... Huh? Hub on the hot seat. Yeah. Bruce and Jackie have got to go to a memorial service and leaving here pretty soon. So you would.
The special agents I work with, his son passed away. Justin, who was 15, he had a couple of years ago had undergone a heart transplant. And that heart did not work out. And so they had been on a donor's list for about 4 or 5 months. And Christmas morning, they got the call, and he received another transplant, and he passed away on Tuesday morning. And I've known this agent for about 20 years, and we just feel led that we need to go and give him support. And the prayers of this church, I hope, will be followed.
Can we bless both? Speaking to my heart is about spiritual blindness. And I think that's a condition we can all confirm is prevalent today. It's been prevalent in any age. And of course, when we talk about spiritual blindness, we often, in our own minds, begin to think of, well, I know what that's about. That's about those people down there that don't believe the same way I do, or don't think the same way, or haven't put their doctrine together in a correct way. And actually, spiritual blindness is a human condition. It's not about somebody else. It's about all of us. Remember in John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man, before he did that, the disciples were asking, well, why was this man born blind? Who sinned, his parents or did he sin? What was wrong? And Jesus said, neither. It's not his sin or his parents' sin. He was born blind so that the works of God could be displayed in him. We are all spiritually blind as we come into this world and go through life. It's not because God is condemning us. It's because he creates us human in this way so that he can display his works, his healing in us, and give us sight so that we can experience how much he loves us and his grace for us. We need to recognize that spiritual sight and healing of spiritual blindness has to come from the Spirit. It's not a matter of trying to figure things out or using our great intellect to get it right. Spiritual blindness is not an issue of our minds. It's an issue of our heart. We experience it on a mental level and we think incorrectly, but actually the condition is a heart condition. And that's where the healing comes, and we'll be getting into that in a few moments. So let's recognize, I think with this age, can we all, I think, would agree that the scripture, and I don't know where it is, somewhere in the New Testament, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There's such a focus on learning. Learning is a good thing. Expanding our intellect and growing that way is a very good thing. But without coming to the knowledge of the truth, who is Jesus Christ, we miss the mark. And we see that happening today, even in religious circles. People are ever learning more and more about God. Is that a good thing? It's a wonderful thing. But what is the real issue? Knowing God, not about him, but knowing him in a personal way through Jesus Christ. That's where the spiritual blindness comes in. We can be very religious and have a lot of knowledge about Jesus and still be spiritually blind if we're not experiencing him in our lives. He has come to heal us of the spiritual blindness so that our heart is open, revelation is flowing, and we can know him in an intimate, experiential way. All we have to do is ask. And I think all we have to do is recognize that to be human is to be blind, no matter how smart we think we are. On a spiritual level, your humanity will never bring you into an awareness of who the Lord is. It's only done by his grace, his input into your life by the Spirit. This was a ministry of Jesus. You read about in Isaiah and again in Luke when he talked about his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What were one of the things that he was called to do? What did he do? He gave sight to the blind. In this day and age, I think it goes beyond the physical healings of blind people. He healed a number of blind people as we read about in the Gospels. But the real issue today is the spiritual blindness. Having a nation and having a world that can be so religious, yet at the same time, so void or limited in relationship to who the Lord really is. The day of his presence, the day of his Spirit, is the day when all these things we know in our head become our experience. It's also the day of relationship, where our oneness with the Father and with the Son becomes our reality as we walk the earth. This is what I think creation is groaning for. Not a new book to be found with new knowledge about God. Creation's groaning for the reality of experience with God. And as the prophecy came earlier, as he appears to us and we see him, this is the message that we emanate to the world out there. People don't need to be preached to. They don't need their minds manipulated into a certain way of thinking. People need to experience those living epistles where they can see the Christ and be brought into a living relationship with him. Now, in recovering our sight, we're going to talk about just a couple areas. Number one is, in this area of healing to the spiritual blindness, the issue is, who do we see? It's not about simply changing our thinking so that we can understand scriptures in a better way, and that, again, is a good thing. But when we receive spiritual healing and spiritual sight, it's about seeing the Lord. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 8, you can read this later. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember they saw the Lord transfigured. A voice came and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom well pleased." The disciples just fell on their faces. And it says, lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself. This, to me, describes the process of spiritual healing to our sight. God gets through this thick skull of ours, gets through to our heart, and we hear that word, that living word, "This is my beloved Son." We hear that living word of Christ, and our hearts are humbled, and we fall before him. And all our self-righteousness and all our pride and what we think we know, we just drop down like the disciples. What did they know on the Mount of Transfiguration? When they went up there, they're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. They were following the man, the hero, Jesus. And when they heard the Father speak and they saw him transfigured, they fell down on their right before him, and they were humbled. I'm sure at that point they felt they didn't know a thing. They opened their eyes and they saw him. This is where it's going to come to. This process of healing, as our eyes are opened. It's not simply an expanding of our minds, it's an opening of our hearts where we can truly see who the Christ is, the person. John 16, 13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." The function of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. What is that speaking about? Simply helping us to understand the Bible better? It does that. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." Remember he spoke to Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead? He said, "I am the life. I am the resurrection." The function of the Holy Spirit is not simply to give you a better understanding of the Bible. The function of the Holy Spirit is to lead you into the experience of who Jesus Christ is. Lead you into the truth so you can know him who is the truth. I think all of us have an easier time of just letting the Holy Spirit illuminate the scriptures. Maybe it's a little more difficult when he challenges our life to bring us into that reality of who the Lord is. That's when he begins to challenge different aspects of our being and our flesh and our mind that we may not want to let go of. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus was confronting the Pharisees and he said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." Here again, what is happening? This religious side is saying, "We know all about what the prophets said." Jesus said, "You're spiritually blind. It's not because you don't know what the prophets said. It's not because you're not intelligent. You're spiritually blind because all these scriptures are talking about me. I'm standing right in front of you and you don't recognize who I am. You're unwilling to come to me." So you see the tie-in there. Our spiritual blindness has to do with our unwillingness to come to the Lord. And often we can get caught up in our minds and what we know, and we can read the scriptures. People can memorize the Bible. And they can study the Bible, and that's a wonderful book to study. Historically, it's fascinating. So many wonderful truths. But if we're unwilling to come to the person this book is all about, we are spiritually blind. And like the Pharisees, we'll be fighting the very truth that we say we back up, that we're all about. The issue, all these scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to come to him? That means, are we willing to let go of our flesh, our self-will, our self-righteousness, our ego, so that he can be real to us? The healing of spiritual blindness is about taking the scales off our heart, where we become willing, and then we can open our eyes and see who Jesus Christ truly is in this Bible, in our lives, in one another, in this earth. It comes down to that willingness. How do we see? That's also important. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a very familiar verse, but I think we're going to see something new in it. 2 Corinthians 3, 14, talking about the Israelites now, says their minds were hardened. For until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. Okay, religious people, Paul is saying when they read the Old Covenant, they read the Scriptures, their minds are hardened. There's a veil. But verse 15, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay. What I want us to look at is their minds were hardened, but where's the veil? Over their heart. Their minds are hardened, but the veil is over the heart. The key to the healing of our spiritual blindness is not in trying to change our thinking. The veil is over our heart. The Father comes with His Spirit and heals our heart and takes the veil away. Then our minds can be renewed, as the Scripture says. Then we can have the mind of Christ. Our thinking can change. But the hardening of our thinking will never change as long as there's a veil over our heart, over our spirit. And that veil could be very well the willingness or unwillingness to open up to what God wants to do in our life. Again, let's recognize it's a heart condition. Blindness, when it comes to spiritual blindness, is a heart condition. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, and here we go again. How often do you hear this one? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and the knowledge of Him. Okay, we're talking about spiritual sight here. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Okay, two things. Eyes of the heart being enlightened, then what follows? That you may know, our minds be enlightened to know all these wonderful things. The key to knowing, and that's a mental exercise, knowing what is the hope of His calling, riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, is something happening to our heart. The veil taken away from our heart. How does the veil get taken away? Pretty complicated, isn't it? What do we have to do? What's the secret formula? 2 Corinthians 3 said it very simply. The veil is removed whenever a person turns to the Lord. Going from that unwilling state, you know, and what is that unwillingness? That stubbornness of our own will. This is the way it's going to be, the way I think, what I want. When that softens, there's that humility, that willingness to do His will. We're turning to the Lord. That's that turning to Him. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. We recognize that the self-will is not as strong as the cry in our heart for His will. And in Him, that veil is removed. And when that veil is removed, the eyes of our heart are being enlightened, and then our mind can know by revelation all these wonderful things that God has given us. And then it's not just simply mental assent to truths. When we're talking about this kind of knowing, our minds are being renewed. It's revelation, and it's powerful. As our eyes are being opened, and God is able to heal us of our spiritual blindness, we become more and more aware of the areas that are still blind. This is not a one-shot thing. One day your scales are taken off your eyes, like a physical healing. When Jesus touched someone, physically healed their eyes, that was it. They were healed. 20/20. Except in one case, we had to pray twice over the person. But with spiritual blindness, it's a process, isn't it? And it's a process that scares a lot of people because as their eyes begin to open, they're confronted with their blindness. And if someone wants to be self-righteous, they don't want to see that. I don't want to admit to my blindness, so they run away from the very process of healing. We're going to look to the scriptures in a minute to see how this was true. But just think about that. The more your eyes are open, the more you can see in the spirit, the more the blindness leaves you, you're going to be more and more confronted of what remains that is blind. And that's why it's a process of humility. In John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man, at the very end, the Pharisees are, you know, having difficulty with this. I'll just read you the last part. Verse 40, they're telling Jesus, "We're not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Okay, their state is they could never admit to any blindness. They thought they saw everything. There was that arrogance. We know what's happening. We know what we know is what's true, and we're not going to have anyone confront us. No one's going to tell us anything different. Jesus said, "Because you claim to see, your sin remains." They were trapped in that sin consciousness. They were trapped on that level of law. They were in bondage because they couldn't admit to their blindness. Paul, do you remember when he had that conversion, that meeting with God? What happened immediately? Light comes and he is blinded 3 days. Here is this powerful Pharisee, self-reliant, helpless. Someone else leading him along to another man that was going to prophesy and lay hands on him and heal him of his blindness. You see, the blindness and the experience of that was necessary because Paul had all this pride. He had all this self-will. What was going to break that? Think about with any of us. We have to go through this. You think, well, you know, if I'm looking at areas of blindness, that must mean the healing of God's not working in me. No, because he's opening your eyes, you can admit to your blindness. Most people can't even admit to that. And if you can admit to it, the healing continues and the scales keep coming off, the veil's taken off that covers your heart, your mind gets enlightened. Paul had a meeting with God, but he had to be humbled. How else was he going to acknowledge the blindness of his thinking for all those years? God had to physically do something to him to let him know, "Paul, you thought you knew what was happening, what was going on. You really didn't know a thing." And read in Philippians when Paul gives a recounts about that whole experience. Pharisee of Pharisees says, "I count it all as lost." Meant nothing. Means nothing. Only thing that matters is knowing Jesus Christ. Power of his resurrection. This process of being healed of our blindness, and again I say process, I think a lot of people are scared off it because it's a pathway of humility. It's a pathway of uncovering. We have to allow the Lord to lead us when we are feeling blind. Like Paul for 3 days, someone else taking him along. We're not comfortable with that. We want to be in charge. We want to be in control. So it's much easier to turn to that self-righteous religious attitude of what I think is what God thinks, and you know, that kind of controlling mindset that so many good-hearted religious people fall into. I think we all do, don't we? Is that the easiest way to go? Get all proud about our doctrines and how we think and pat each other on the back and say, "We think the correct way. The church is over there. They're just a little bit off here." It's so easy to fall into that trap. And that trap is spiritual blindness. But the pathway of healing is that pathway of humility, of admitting, "Father, we don't see as we need to see." And the fact that I'm able to admit to that means that I'm being healed of my blindness. You know, there's two different approaches when we talk about spiritual life. One, I think, is more the tradition where we love God and we have certain traditions we acknowledge. And that has to do more with performance. You know, we express that love in the things that we do. Coming to church, reading our Bible. I'm talking about good traditions that I hope all of us do. And yet, you know, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to grow, does it? There are people that have been in the same church maybe for 40 years, observed the same traditions, but haven't changed in their thinking. over that time. You see, we can perform the right traditions and rituals and still be blind, have that spiritual blindness. The other approach is one more I'd call a relational reality. It's that being with God is a relationship, it's an experience. That doesn't mean you throw out the traditions. It's just something beyond the traditions. And in that, you're interacting with God by the Spirit. With that, you don't have a set mindset. You don't have your mind's not set in a certain way of, this is how I think because this is how God thinks because this is what the Bible says, and I'm never going to vary from that. It's an openness saying, Lord, I don't know how to think. I know what the Bible says, but you've got to reveal to me what these scriptures mean. And in that, let's say that person's in church for 30 years. Every day, every year, that person's going to be thinking differently. Instead of being smug and secure and I've got the answers, that person's going to be always saying, I've got so many more questions. There's so many gray areas here. What's happening? The arrogance of the human religious thinking is not ruling that person's life. The spiritual blindness is being healed, and they're interacting in a living relationship with God by the Spirit. So they're always undergoing change. Their thinking's always changing. Isn't that where we want to be? That's what it means to be in a process of healing. What you think you know, at some point you're going to be confronted and say, God, wow, there's something more here. We're able to let go and humble ourselves. And God is able to teach us and impart more to us. I think so often religion can be so confining and it just can be so rigid. You know, this is the way we think and this is it, and there can be no variance from it. And there's so much fear built into that type of system. That can be a religious way, but that certainly isn't the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is to take the veil off our heart so that our minds can be enlightened, and it's to be an ever-growing reality within us. Every day, new experiences in Him. Allowing the Lord to change how we see things, our perception, our perspective. And the only way we're going to submit to that type of process is if there's that willingness inside to be humble and to be led by His Spirit. That's the cry of, Lord, I recognize that I am blind. Give me sight. It's more than just God opening our eyes a little bit to something. It's a process involving our whole heart and a willingness to change. If we have that inside, then God can hit throughout our lives, heal us of every bit of blindness that is there. And what is the end result? To see Him as He is. In this physical being, this limitation that we experience of being human, these limited minds, if we're willing and we allow the Spirit to heal the blindness, we can see in full by revelation who Jesus Christ is and have that experience in our life and be able to impart that to others. What a wonderful thing. Let's stand.
1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that. He shall appear, He shall be because we shall see Him just as He is.
Yes. Amen. Lord, our cry is a humble one this morning. We thank You for all You've shown us. I mean, it's not that we don't recognize the revelation we've already received, but Lord, we've just scratched the surface of who You are. We don't want to be smug in some self-righteous stance. Lord, we want to be in the process of healing of our blindness. And we recognize that that involves our heart. Remove the veil from our heart, Lord. Let us be in that way, that flow with Your Spirit, that the revelation of who You are can be an ever-increasing reality in our lives. Amen. Let's